Let's continue to study the book of Ruth. And the story between Ruth and Naomi actually is a very beautiful story. It serves as a role model between in-laws. We know that eventually every one of you will get married, right? So you are going to face the issue of in-laws. When we get married, if in-law has a problem, right? Mother-in-law and daughter-in-law has a problem, who suffers the most? If in-law has a problem, who suffers the most? Huh? Daughter? Daughter-in-law or mother-in-law? Huh? Or husband or both or three of them? Huh? How do you feel? If in-law has problem, who suffers the most? All three of them. Yeah. If in-law has problem, the one who suffers the most, probably, not exactly 100%, the one who suffers the most is the husband. Yeah. Really, husband being sandwiched between the mother and the wife. Yeah. If we want to side with the mother, the wife said, then why do you marry me? Right. If you want to side with the wife, right, and mothers will say, oh, in the beginning, why I give birth to you? Well, why I spend so many years take care of you, right? The most painful experience is the husband. So we hope and we pray through the edification of the truth, guidance of the truth, and through the pouring down of God's love among us. So in the future, when you get married, you can manage the in-law issue very well. All right? So your family issue will not cause you headache. You will enjoy family and not experience headache in the family life. Right? If this situation don't manage well, what happened? What is going to happen? Eventually, what is going to happen? In-law issue, if you don't manage well, what is going to happen? Huh? It's going to break up the marriage. Yeah, it's so serious, huh? So serious, yes, it's so serious. Because once the two parties' parents get involved, the husband, right? And then between the wife, there's a parent. Between husband, there's a parent, right? If both parents get involved, not with a godly way, and both parents get involved, not with a spiritual way, and what is going to happen? It's going to cause a lot of problem. Yeah. In order that we want to avoid the problem, right? We study the beautiful story so everyone we can learn an example. So in the church, we have a quite good example of how interact with each other very well. Now we look into Naomi and Ruth. Both of them, yesterday we studied part of that. Number one, Naomi was considerate to Ruth. He think about the Ruth future, even though she was very lonely, and she was very painful, because she lose three sons, right? And in the family only had three women. Right now, one daughter-in-law already moved out. Then only two person, right? Naomi and Ruth. So even though she was painful and lonely, however, Naomi was considered to Ruth. So first one, he think about the future of Ruth. So what does that mean? That means she really has love. So the family life, just like what the song we just sing, right? Oh, the family life, the most important is you need to have love. Oh, you may not have a lot of abundant material, right? Everything just the used one, or everything just the ordinary one is fine. But if there is love, oh, your family life will be like the heaven. If there is no life, oh, the family life, no love, the family life will be like in hell. Oh, so the family life, the key point is love. Oh. So when we study the Naomi, the story in Naomi and Ruth and Naomi, we can find out love is very important. Can anybody of you recite the definition of love? Can you define what is love? Nobody can explain love better than what the Bible says. Oh, right. Bible says the love is the best. Oh, how come Bible was able to explain the essence of love in a very perfect way? Because Bible was revealed by God. And God is love. So when God inspired Paul to write down the 1 Corinthians, right? In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, even Paul did not get married, and he was able to write down the so perfect definition of love. Nobody nowadays can ever explain the definition of love better than 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So we have to understand that to make sure, right? The most beautiful definition of love is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, any book, any philosophical thinking, any religion, nobody can explain better than 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, we look into 1 Corinthians chapter 13 to see what was the definition of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. All right? You suffer from the other party. No, right? And suffer long. Not only suffer one day, suffer few days, you suffer few months. All right? Suffer long. And suffer long is good, but it's still belong to a more passive way. Oh, I love you, so whatever you treat me, I just suffer. I endure it, right? It's good, but it's not good enough. So the next one is kind, right? You treat the one make you suffering with a more positive way. Oh. And then the most beautiful part, definition of love, related to the book of Ruth, which sentence is related to Naomi. If you look into verse 4 to verse 7, right? Which sentence, which definition of love actually can apply to Naomi? Which one? Verse 4 to verse 6. Which sentence can really fit into the character of Naomi? 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 to 7. I think the last part of verse not last part, the middle part of verse 5. Does not behave rudely and does not seek its own. Oh. Love does not behave rudely. Oh. On the other hand, okay, love behaves very graciously, not rudely. Oh. The other part of graciously, rudely is very graciously. And does not seek its own. So our family life is very important. We need to have a love. You know, three sentences, you know, if we always use in the family life, and the relationship will be improved a lot. First one, please. Second one, thank you, right? The third one, I'm sorry. Did you always use these three sentences in your family life? Think about, please, thank you, I'm sorry. Love does not behave rudely. If you need service from your parent, right? Please. Right. That means you are very show your courtesy. It's not rude. Just not commend your parent, right? Give me the clothes, right? Give me the money, bring in here, bring in there. If we really have a person very loving, very kind, right? We have to ask them, please, can you do it? More gentle way, right? First, when you talk to your parent and sibling, you ask them to have any service, to do anything for you, please. The second is, after they have done this, what to do? Thank you. Right? Don't take it for granted. Right? Thank you for your family members, right? So you don't behave rudely. Your family member give you a favor, do you a favor, then you just take for granted. Thank you. But if we have done something wrong, then you have to say what? I'm sorry. Yeah. Be humble enough to say I'm sorry. So if we always apply these three principles, right? Please, thank you, I'm sorry. And then the family relation will improve a lot. Really. So love don't behave rudely, with a good manners and with a good, a very gracious attitude. So we have to treat our family member with respect. If we look into Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honoring, give preference to one another. Here's talk about how, right? First, we need to have brotherly love. We need to have love. But in second, we have to show the way of love in with respect. In honoring, give preference to one another. So a lot of time, even the husband and wife, they get married for a long time. Right? They have love, but they don't show respect. So a lot of time when they say words without respect, sometimes will get that other people get hurt. So Ruth and Naomi, when Naomi talked to Ruth, she always had gracious words. And that gracious word, you can feel that she really respect Ruth. Naomi respect Ruth. So besides love, we need to have honor accompanied with love, respect accompanied with love. Not only the husband and wife, including the father and mother, right? Yeah. You know, then when you talk to them, always talk with honor. Respect, because they are parents, right? And parents talk to the children. Yes, parents love the children, but also we talk to the children with respect, not just ordering them around, right? So if everybody, we treat other people very graciously, then the relationship can be smoothed out and the family will become more harmonious. We know family, they all love each other. But if we don't say gracious words, we don't use a more respected the attitude of honor each other, a lot of time it creates a lot of friction, uncomfortable feeling. So we are learning. We are learning to improve ourselves. So our family life can be better. After we study whole day, we go back home, we can really enjoy that kind of warmth, that kind of relax, and that kind of loving atmosphere in the family. It's very important. Now we come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 5, right? Does not behave rudely and does not seek its own. Love does not seek its own. What does that mean? You know, every time we think about something, we always think about me first, right? We think about we ourselves first, right? For example, if you take the group picture, for example, RHTS, you take the group picture, right? And after the hard copy being printed out, you look at the group picture, who you look the first? I think almost 99% correct. Who you look first? You yourself, right? So everything is center, right? We ourselves center. And the second is, when you come here, for example, brother all sleep in that room, right? Now, how do you choose the location you sleep? How? Very simple, right? I choose a best secure location, right? Nobody will step on me. And I have enough room to put my luggage. Right? And that's the location. If there is somebody say, oh, this is close to the entrance, nobody wants to sleep it, right? I'm going to sleep here. So the best location reserved to somebody else. Wow, you are the one who really have love. Because you don't seek your own, right? Also, love is so applicable to every small matter in our life. Don't seek your own. Now, we go to the dining room, right? The food is very delicious. What should we do? What should we do? Sometimes we see some of the member, they pile up. because they're very good, right? And then those who lie behind, do you know, those who lie behind, a lot of them, they are very caring. They talk to the truth seeker, they talk to the visitor, and they spend time to greeting those come from afar. So that was the reason they lie behind. When it reached to them, all the most delicious food, what? Gone. They can only use a bowl of rice to put on some kind of, what? The what? Sausage, that's all. Right? But for those who pile up a lot, eventually, I cannot finish. Then what? You dump into the trash can. Right? So love, don't seek our own. You just take your own small portion first. And when everybody had one serve, then you come back with the second serve. That's called love. We don't seek our own. It's very practical, right? Just like watermelon. Oh, this watermelon, very beautiful. I use a plate because I like it. Then after a few people use the watermelon, it's gone. How come gone? Because you look in the table, everybody pile up a lot. And so delicious food, those who lie behind, they cannot enjoy it. So what does that love mean, right? You just take a small portion first until everybody have their own serve. And then you come back to second serve, right? After second serve, still have some remain. Then you take another third serve. That's called love. We don't seek our own, right? So Naomi, we come back to see the Naomi, right? How do you think Naomi really have love? Oh. Chapter 1, verse 8 and 11. Naomi two times encouraged them to go seek their own future. So she did not seek her own. Oh. And then chapter 3, Ruth chapter 3. Ruth chapter 3, verse 1. Ruth chapter 3, verse 1. And then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" So the mother-in-law one more time talked to Ruth, say, "My daughter, shall I not seek a security for you?" What does it mean, security? Means find somebody you can get married. So you can form your own family. That means I seek a security for you. So in her mind, she always think about the benefit of what? Ruth. That's called love. Don't seek their own. Right? And this kind of love always puts somebody's benefit ahead of yourself. This kind of love, it comes from where? Come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you find a verse in 1 Corinthians? So Jesus Christ become poor so that we can become rich because of his poverty. Can you find it? Where does the Bible say? Second Corinthians chapter 8. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ," the grace of our Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ was very gracious. All right. How do we know? That though he was rich, Jesus Christ was rich in what term? In what way? Though he was rich. Because Jesus Christ actually came down from heaven. So though he was rich means originally, he was in heaven. When he was in heaven, he was God himself. And heaven, you never been there, right? So some of members once they went to heaven and saw a vision, nobody want to come back. Nobody want to come back because heaven is too good. Compared with the experience of heaven, all the world become garbage. It's not because the world is no good, because heaven is so good, it's incomparable. So Jesus Christ enjoyed that kind of glory when he was God, and countless of angels serving him and singing, hallelujah, praising him, right? He was rich, rich in power, rich in glory. And then, "Yet for your sake, he become poor." So when he descend to the world, he become human being. God become human being is a lot of sacrifice. From heaven to come down to the world is a lot of sacrifice, right? It's just like you live in California. California actually a very comfortable place to live. When you live in California, it's so difficult for you to serve in Africa, right? Why? Because you have everything, When you go to Africa, you don't have anything. The life becomes so poor. And Jesus Christ become poor. When he was man, he has nothing, right? He has nothing. He even don't have place to put the pillar. No. He did not have a bank account. He did not have money. He did not have anything. Oh, right? He did not have a glory. Oh, he was insulted. Oh, he was blasphemed. Oh, and he was mistreated. He was persecuted. He suffered a lot. How come the Almighty God come down from heaven and come to the world to suffer? Why? For your sake, he become poor. So Jesus Christ never think about his own benefit. So love doesn't think about, seek our own, look into the life of Jesus Christ. He never seek his own. Right? So that you through his poverty might become rich. Because Jesus came to the world, suffer for us, and we receive the salvation, we can reconcile ourselves with God. Just like a channel, we connect it to that channel of blessing. So we become rich. Rich in what way? Rich in three ways. The first riches is to reach in God's blessing. Right? Rich in God's blessing. So we just do whatever we need to do. And whatever you cannot do, God uses his blessing to cover you. So we don't have worry. So Jesus Christ, my birth, my yoke is easy, right? My burden is light. How come? Because he used his grace, blessing to cover whatever you don't have. Just like your parent, right? Your parent do your best to provide whatever you need. So we become rich. So in our life, we have a lot of experience of God's blessing. So compared with those who don't believe, what's the difference? Those who don't believe in Jesus, after they work hard, they still have to worry tomorrow. Why? Because their future is in their own hand. So they have to worry tomorrow. But to us, we don't have to worry tomorrow. Why? Because after we do our best, do it. And our tomorrow is in the hand of our Father in heaven, Jesus Christ. And he will give us the grace to cover it. So that makes a tremendous difference. So rich. So we can become rich because of his poverty. Because Jesus Christ don't think about his own. Think about us first. So we become rich. Rich in his grace. The second rich is rich in be partaker of divine nature. You know, we human beings, we have sinful nature, right? Because we have sinful nature, you want to become a good person. It's good you want to become a good person, but whether you can become a good person or not is not in your own control because of human nature problem. But once we connect with Jesus Christ, after we pray hard, the divine nature can come to us through the Holy Spirit. So the more you pray, you fill with the God's divine nature, and gradually we can be transformed with the likeness of Jesus Christ, right? This kind of inner transformation because we become the partaker of the deity of God. That's called rich, rich in God's divine character. So to us, it's absolutely possible to change ourselves. Why? It's not because we are good. It's because the one who really good is God himself can fill his Holy Spirit upon me. Why this all happened? That's because Jesus' salvation. So rich in what way? Partaker of the divine nature. So we can become a better person. You want to, but you can do it. The third one, become rich, is rich in heaven. Right? You know, how come life is in vanity? According to the book of Ecclesiastes, how no matter how hard you work, how much money you accumulate, right? Once you give up the last breath, everything gone, right? You can never take one penny out of you. out of this side. Why? Because we don't never take one penny to the world. So we have to go with empty-handed. But through the salvation of Jesus Christ, it's possible we can become rich in heaven. Whatever we have done for him, whatever we have done for the sake of God's glory, whatever we have done to please him, it was recorded. It will be recorded in the book of life. In the future, God will reward us according to the book of life. Right? So, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, talk about what? It's talk about future resurrection. Some people will be like a sun. Can you stare at the sun in the noontime? You can? You cannot. It's too bright, right? Too bright. Some people were like a moon, compared with the moon, right? Compared with the sun, moon is not so bright. But in the evening, when it is a full moon, still very bright, right? You don't have to use a torchlight. You can walk around, right? And some people will be like a star. Even the star is different kind of light, right? So in the future resurrection, everyone will be different. And that represents our glory. Our glory. So we will become rich. Rich in what way? In the blessing in heaven. So all because Jesus did not seek his own. So today, what the virtue of Ruth try to tell us? Naomi, the virtue of Naomi try to tell us that the church is you and me, but everybody of us, we have to pursue this kind of virtue. Not to seek our own. When we come to the church, we don't seek our own. If we don't seek our own, what we are seeking? We seek about the benefit of the church. What will benefit the church most? I'm going to do it. Regardless how much I will sacrifice, I'm going to do it, right? So you see so many counselors, right? They are supposed to raise their fund, all right? How come they come here? They don't seek their own. So they come here to spend time with you, sleep together with you, and then work together with you so that you can learn more. Don't seek their own. So we hope in the future, right? When you grow up to become a college student, after you are well equipped spiritually, every one of you, you have to be a volunteer to serve as counselor, right? But if you want to serve a counselor, you need to have that kind of spirit, right? Don't seek your own. And that is the virtue of Naomi. Naomi represents the church, and Boaz represents Jesus Christ. And now we come back, chapter 2, Ruth chapter 2, verse 19. Ruth chapter 2, verse 19. Naomi comfort Ruth. And her mother-in-law said to her, "Where have you grain today? And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you." Comfort her and bless her. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, "The man's name with whom I work today is Boaz." The third one, Naomi was give Ruth a prudent advice. Chapter 2, verse 22. And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young woman, and that people do not meet you in any other field. So he advised Ruth to follow the servant of Boaz. And this was a very prudent advice. Well, how come? Because through this kind of advice, so she keep on picking the leftover crops and remain in Boaz's field until she married Boaz. Chapter 3, Ruth chapter 3, verse 6. So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law instructed her. Right? It was the mother-in-law instruct her how to meet Boaz. Right? And eventually, Boaz recognized Ruth as the relative, and Boaz promised to marry Ruth. All because the instruction of Naomi. So she gave a very prudent advice and paid a wave that Naomi, Ruth, met Boaz and married the Boaz. So today, what does that mean? As a part of the church, right, we have to give advice to other people so they can be closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and build up a more close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh. And that's exactly what Naomi do. Oh. So Naomi represents the church. Today, what should we do in the church? Give a prudent advice so people be closer to the spiritual Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh. So from the material point of view, we don't see how many people we can help, right? Not a lot of people we can help. But from the spiritual point of view, a lot of people need our help, right? They are weak spiritually. So how can we give advice to them, make friends with them, and gradually guide them so they can be closer to God? And that is so important. We had to be considerate in the spiritual way to those who are weak and give them the prudent advice they can reestablish the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Even you are young, you can do a lot of things, right? For example, when it is time for RHTS, you know your friend in the same church, or your friend, not even in the same church, but in the same area, then you can contact them, make friends with them, and gradually encourage them, come and attend the RHTS. Right? And this is a very good way. Because if the parents try to encourage the children, a lot of times the children don't want to listen. But if their friend invite them, and they are going to come, this is Naomi, who was considered Ruth. And the second part is Ruth take care of Naomi in return. And Ruth was very good to Naomi too. So what does that mean? Let's look into one verse from the Bible. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophet. So verse 12 say it is considered what? A gold rule, golden rule. The value is as precious as gold. What is a golden rule? Whatever you want men do to you, do also to them. Right? If we want people to be gracious to us, what should we do according to this verse? we have to be gracious to others. Oh, right? If we have been gracious to others, then we will harvest the result, the fruit. People will be gracious to us. Right? So, in other words, whether I treat people well or not, how do I know? Whether I treat people well or not. Whether I'm gracious to other people or not, how do we know? If we look into this verse, how do we know? How do I know whether I'm good to other people? How do I know? If you think about carefully about verse 12. Very simple way. If we have been gracious to others for a period of time, everybody will treat us well. If nobody treat us well, that means what? We did not treat them well. So it become a mirror. And one day, one of the TTP students, it looks very worrisome. During the class, just feel very sad, right? And one of the instructors just asked him, what happened? How come you look sad? And that student say, I'm looking sad because my wife had a problem in her company. And my wife said nobody like her, and she want to quit. So this bothered the TTP student a lot because he needs her wife to work to support the family. And then the husband knows the wife very well. So the husband told the wife, please don't quit. First, you change yourself 3 months. After you change yourself 3 months, if your company, your coworkers still treat you no good, then you quit, right? So the husband knows the wife very well. Before the end of that semester, the instructor asked that student, hey, did your wife change a new job? And that brother said, no, my wife right now work in the company very joyfully. She get along with everybody very good. So what happened? After the husband suggests his wife, right? You treat everybody good, right? When you come to the company, just from your sincerity, from your heart, greet everybody, be nice to everybody. Hey, after she start to be nice to everybody, greet everybody, and in return, everybody treat her so well. So the working relationship becomes so wonderful. And this is a true story. So in the church, if we really treat everybody with a gracious attitude, really treat everybody nice, everybody will treat us nice. If nobody treat us well, nobody greet us properly, that indication. What? We don't treat other people well. So therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. This is a law. This is a golden rule. Naomi was considerate to Ruth, gracious to Ruth, and now Ruth, in return, take care of Naomi. Now we look into chapter 2, verse 2 to 7. They come back to Ruth, the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth. Chapter 2. To 7. Especially, it's so long. Okay, verse 18. We'll cut it short. Verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18. Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw that she had grained. So she brought out and give to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. So what does that mean? Ruth brought back portion of the food and share with the mother-in-law, Naomi. And that was the action of love. Right? So love means we don't seek our own. We share the good thing together with others. I don't know if you remember, I testified before. 1 year, a co-worker with me, we went to Ghana. And all, you know, we eat a lot of African food and we try to experience something new. So we went to the city to eat something like a Kentucky Fried Chicken, right? Right now, Kentucky Fried Chicken in here, nobody wants to eat that, right? So we invite one of the worker. Actually, there are two workers accompanying us. We invite one of them. But another one have to take care of the church because that time was a seminar, worker seminar. And then one plate of the Kentucky Fried Chicken had 2 pieces of the fried chicken. Not within a few minutes, we just saw the that co-worker who went with us. All the chicken was gone. How come so fast? All right? All the chicken was gone. Because to them, the fried chicken is so good. They even chew the bone and eat up all the bone. It's so good, right? And I said, oh, how come you eat the chicken so fast? And he felt embarrassed. He said, oh, I only eat 1 piece. And another piece, he used the paper to wrap it up and put in the pocket. We asked them, that's for what? How come you don't want to eat that? And he said, so because the fried chicken is so good, I want to bring 1 piece of the chicken back to my coworker. We are so touched, you know. We are so touched. He could have eaten all 2 pieces and come back and say, oh, the chicken is really good. All right. And talk until the coworker would keep on watering. All right. And she think about the coworker and keep 1 piece for them. Wow, this is good. That's called love. Love means don't seek our own, right? We also share things good together with other people. Now, also, Ruth bring back the food and share with the mother-in-law. Oh, I still remember when I was young, in the age of 1 or 2. My father always out of town because he was a full-time minister. When he came back, he always come back with 1 apple. In 1950s, 1 apple is very, very precious, right? We can touch, we can smell, but we never eat even 1 piece. And that 1 apple is for what? It's for his mother, my grandmother. So at that time, we feel the apple smells so good, but we never even eat 1 piece. But when I grown up, I am very much touched by the love of my father. He respect his mother so well. And just accumulate a lot of money and buy apple for his mother. So Ruth is the same. He kept a little bit and eat a little bit and reserve all the remain to share with Naomi, the in-laws. So what does that mean to us today? Don't remember, don't forget, don't forget. If you have something good, not only you use it. If we have something good, try to share with whom? With the one you love, with your family. That is the way we show our love. So seek food for Naomi. Point B. When I heard the story, a true story, that a sister, after she worked in a company, and she gave the first month of salary back to, I think, the father or mother or grandfather, grandmother. I was very touched about this testimony, right? If you, after you study for a long, long time, right? You graduate from graduate school, And then you get a good job, the first month's salary, what are you going to use? I bet you upgrade your computer, right? You upgrade your smartphone, you are going to have arrange to have fun, right? That's usually the most of people do. But that young members, when it's a sister, when she received first month of salary, beside over the tithe, she give the whole month of salary to her parents to show the gratitude. I believe when the parent received that envelope, the parent will shed a tear, right? It's not because of the money. It's because the children know how to show gratitude to the parents. It is the heart who touched the parent. Oh. So nowadays, we live here, we receive a lot from our parents. Oh. We have to think about how to let our parents know we really appreciate their love. We really need to not only use a word, we really use some action to let them feel, oh, we love them, we appreciate them. And that exactly Ruth was doing. And that's what we have to learn from it. Chapter 3, verse 5. Ruth chapter 3, verse 5. And she said to her, all that you say to me, I will do. Look, Ruth said to, whatever you say to me, I will do. Right? Very obedient. Of course, we have to listen to our parents in the law, right? How do we honor our parents? Listen the parents in the law. What does it mean in the law? When the parents say anything which is not against the teaching of the Bible, we have to be obedient. You know, according to the Bible, God gave the parents authority to discipline the children. So don't learn from the culture here, right? I am I, you are you. You have no right to discipline me. No. When you open the Bible, God gives the parents authority to discipline the children. To train them up to become a godly people. So when Ruth told Naomi, right, whatever you told me, I'm going to follow. I'm going to do it. It's very, very obedient. Can you find where the Bible says, listen your parents in the law, obey your parents in the law? Chapter 6 of Ephesians, chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the law, for this is right. Obey your parents. How come the Bible have to say in the law? If we take away in the law, what is going to happen? If we take away in the law, what is going to happen? If we take away in the law, sometimes, right? Parents' instruction, parents' value, probably will overrule the teaching of the Bible. Right? In the law means, if it is not against the teaching of the Bible, then we have to listen. If it is against the teaching of the Bible, of course we have to obey the teaching of the Bible. Is there any example? Of course, there is some example, right? Some of the parents, because they are personal experience, so they become more realistic. If you want to get married, they give you a lot of guidelines. All right. The first one had to graduate from college. The second one, he must be. The third one, a lot of condition. No. But according to the Bible, if you want to get married, only three conditions. Other than these three, it's all artificial. The first condition is what? The first condition, you marry in the same faith. Right? The second condition, you look each other, you like each other. Not only one-sided, or one-sided doesn't count. Oh, you cannot say Holy Spirit move you, so I love you. No. One side is not come. Oh, both they have feeling to each other. Ah, the third condition, marriage means depart from your parents. Right? Depart from your parents, it doesn't mean only pack your luggage and go. Not so simple. Depart your parents means you are mature enough to be independent. You are mature enough to make a decision and responsible to the decision you make. If anyone have these three conditions, it's according to God's will. But if we add any other artificial condition, how tall, how the weight, right? Even some people, the blood type. I don't want my son to marry the sister who has an old brother type and old brother type. That's not biblical, all right? So discern the parents in the law. The more condition you have, the less opportunity you can marry in the church. So only three conditions. And plus prayer. Listen your parents in the law. and as in some of the parents, they give a lot of goal. A lot of goal for the children. You must be a doctor. You must this. You must do that. The best way is what? Ask your children to ask your Father in heaven. What does your Father in heaven want you to do? Right? And parents don't set a goal for the children. That God set a goal for the children. All right. And bring the children connected with God and let God guide the path of the children. So that means honor the law, the parent in the law. So we can see Ruth really fulfilled the Ten Commandments, one of the Ten Commandments. Which one? Ruth really fulfilled one of the Ten Commandments. Which one? Number one? No. Number two? No. Number three? Number four? Number five. And number five, right? Right. So God really blessed Ruth, and she married Boaz. So if we really follow the first step of Ruth, then we are going to see God will bless us. So if you continue verse 2, right? Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So well with you and long, live long on the earth. That is a blessing accompanying. So when we study the story of Naomi and Ruth, he tells us, be gracious to our family member, fulfill our filial duty, and listen to our parents in the law. And in the end, we will receive blessing. And tomorrow, we are going to study the relation between Boaz and the Ruth. Let's pray. Sorry.